Welcome to Ask the Pastor with Jim Simmons and Charles Lyons, the program that provides great Bible teaching and the opportunity to ask your questions. Our guests are some of the most fascinating Christians in cinema, writing, and various professional fields. Now, be a part of Ask the Pastor.
Good evening and welcome to Ask the Pastor Now. I'm Jim Simmons, and we're pleased to have you join us tonight. We certainly trust that you are continuing to have a blessed Christmas season. We are right between Christmas and New Year's, and that seems like a great time to reflect on the past year. So tonight, on Ask the Pastor Now, we encourage you to join us as we pause and reflect on 2017. Why? Because we like to celebrate victories and learn from our challenges. Here, where we live, it has been an exciting year. We have had record heat, followed by record rains that included mass flooding, and record cold that included snow. In other words, we have a lot to be thankful for. Why? Because record challenges brings out great character in people who have had it in them to start with, even if they didn't know it. Now, without further delay, here is the pastor of Ask the Pastor Now, Mr. Is It Almost New Year's himself, Dr. Charles Lyons. Doctor, how are you?
I think I'm doing well. Still working on that interesting introduction you seem to come up with each week. I was curious whether you were putting yourself back in time. I say dating yourself, but that just implies you're overly lonely. So I noticed that you kept saying there's a record this and record that. Shouldn't it be CD or MP3 or something like that? But just a question.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. Yeah, it's no longer records, are they?
No. No, it has been a remarkable year, nonetheless, and all the challenges that came through our area in this past year, the world would look at that and say it was devastating, it was terrible, and it really was to major portions of our city. Yet, in looking at those events, what I find interesting is that I saw Christians stepping up to a new challenge, which was they were able to serve and reach out into the community and touch lives in the process. And what the world could have meant for evil and devastation, it seems like Christ took those events and made them a very powerful witness into the community. We are quite literally busting at the seams with people coming into the church because they have found us a place of comfort and encouragement and help during that time, and I'm very thankful for that. It can certainly always go either way when a difficult time comes, like a storm or flood or any danger that rolls in, and it allowed people to see the heart of God through His people. And I think that's a wonderful thing. So I would encourage our listeners, wherever you live, you know, your first reaction when you have something coming your way is to make sure that you or your family are safe and secure. But I would ask you to almost immediately then realize that you trust in God and you rely on Him. You use the wisdom that He has placed into your lives, the preparation you may have. But then realize that is also a witness as you move out beyond yourself and touch other lives in the community, an incredible chance to be a witness. And we can talk more about that as the broadcast goes by. And by the way, I, on a personal note, want to express my appreciation to the folks in Brenham and Independence, Texas, who made me feel most welcome this past week. Had the opportunity to go up there for the Christmas Eve service at Independence Baptist Church. And it is always a pleasure to be there, some wonderful folks. And it really is comforting, and it's like stepping back in time. They do a wonderful job with that. They have both their new worship center that they're growing and building in, but they still have their older building, which really is a historical site. And it's just a wonderful time. They go back into the older building. There's an actual pump organ and oil lanterns, and you just sort of feel like you step back in time. And the greater comfort of all that is it's a wonderful service that consists of singing of the old carols. People do special music. The pastor gets up and reads from the scripture. So it is a real Christmas atmosphere of keeping things focused in the right direction. And I just find that a tremendous blessing to be able to enjoy that. After all the things we're involved with here, to be able to step away and be with some folks that, you know, they are wonderful and they just sort of put the brakes on, let you feel welcome to come in. So if you're ever in that area, I would heartily encourage you to avail yourself of their hospitality. I think you'd find them a great blessing. Jim, how about yourself? Has things been going well over the Christmas days?
Pastor, we have just had a fabulous time. It's, you know, getting to see the grandkids, and they don't get enough toys. So if anybody out there has extra toys, these kids just never get enough toys. No, it was fabulous. It was great to be with the family. Great eating. My mother-in-law, thank you. And it was a special time. It's been a rather quiet time, but everybody seemed to have a wonderful, exciting Christmas time. And, you know, candlelight service here in our church was fabulous. And I didn't get but just a little wax on my hand this time, so I think I'm improving as we go along.
That's true.
Thank you, Pastor.
Once again, I see that you're waxing eloquent, so that was very good.
Ow.
Painful, right? I'll tell you what was not painful is after driving that distance in the cool, cold night air to arrive back that evening at the Comfort Suites there in Brenham, Texas, and it just seems like the people had gone the extra mile to make things nice. By the way, none of these people actually support the broadcast, so I don't think that's why we're saying these things. They're just genuinely wonderful people. I was surprised when I checked in. I asked them if the room was early because I arrived a little early, and they said, it's been ready for you. So I was a little curious because they sort of reminded me of that story about Santa where he had a glint in his eye. So I went back, and when I walked into the room, I was surprised they had placed a coffee mug out there along with hot chocolate and had even been cutting out like little Christmas stories and things like this and had them waiting there on the desk for me. So it pays to let people know that you're not only a Christian, but trying to serve God. It seems like people respond to that most kindly, and I do thank them for that. It made my Christmas a little more special. And also a special thank you to the Texas highway workers that for the first time in the entire year had enough of Highway 290 open that I was able to use it rather effectively. So I appreciate that as well. It's one of our local highways that seems to be in a state of perpetual construction. So it was nice to have a couple of lanes open, especially after the storms. And to all the prayer intercessors, the people that take time to pray and to intercede for others, I think they have been blessed with a very special heart in response to their willingness to intercede for others. So if one of the people listening tonight is one of those, people who make prayer an issue, a priority is maybe the best way of putting it, my thanks to you. That means so much. We are blessed at our church to have some wonderful people who put God first when it comes to praying and genuinely interceding, even for total strangers, and it just means so very much. In fact, Jim heads up one of those teams. I know that's on his heart as well. Jim, do you want to make any comment about that before we move forward?
Well, I'm so thankful that I am part of that, and thank you for heading that division up at our church. But, you know, Pastor, we're on for a certain length of time on the air, and while we're on the air, the telephone number is flashed, and if they call that number, there's somebody, one of my team or myself, and we answer that line and ask them if we can pray with them, and they give us, you know, the details of what they need prayer for. And it's so amazing how people are hurting and people have, you know, health issues and marriage issues and children issues, and they call and we pray. And you've taught us over the years, you know, don't make it up. Don't just use your words. I love this. If you use scripture, you become a mighty prayer warrior. And that was so true. And so it's always been just, you know, as we're off the air, and I always stay a little bit longer because, you know, I always think if you make that one more call, you'll meet your production goals. Well, if I wait long enough, maybe just one more person that's hurting will call in, and it makes me feel good that after a while nobody's calling, and then suddenly you'll get that last call for the day. And Sunday, we got that last call for the day, and he wanted to know how to be saved. And we prayed together, and he accepted Jesus Christ. And, you know, we always put that little red dot on our form so that we'll be able to get out to him the necessary things. What's the next step? And maybe we'll cover this a little later. It's not just accepting Jesus, but what do you do then? And so I am thankful for that. And I'm thankful for being a part of that ministry. And I am especially thankful that you're at the helm. Thank you, Pastor.
Well, thank you. That's a great blessing to be a servant in that capacity, to be able to support not only the structure, but the message of the gospel as it goes out, and especially the people who call in. And on this program here at Ask the Pastor Now, you know, we also have a number that you can call in. If you have a question, that's our primary focus. But believe me, if you need to know how to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to hear about that, and we're going to share that as we move through the broadcast. But likewise, if you've accepted Christ, we'd love to hear about that. If you have a question for us, we'd love to hear about that. And you can contact us at 1-866-275-4472 and select option 1. Now, you may notice that during the broadcast, there's a number up there where you can call in at 646-716-7765. If you do that, that is long distance. That does allow you to hear the broadcast by phone if you're not able to be at a computer. Likewise, you're able to indicate on there if you'd like to make a comment. But this other avenue has the advantage that it will allow us to have a digital recording of that. So should you be posing a question, we'd be able to put that up on air as part of the broadcast on our next go-around. So if you're listening to us by archive, that's especially important. That would be the way you could feel and be a part of the program, even if you are listening to it after the time of the live broadcast. So again, that number is 1-866-275-4472, and you would select option 1. Jim, by the same token, is there not an email address if somebody wanted to simply send us a comment or question? How would they reach us?
Absolutely. It's ask@askthepastornow.com. Don't forget the now. ask@askthepastornow.com. And that's it's so wonderful just to get an email and say, hey guys, I was listening to the program and it really touched me. Or if you have negative things to say, we'd like to know. We want to keep continually perfecting this program. We want to be mighty with the Word of God. So please drop us an email and just let us know how it's touching you. If you get saved from this program, please email us and let us know. And we have some material we'd love to send you to help you on your walk with Jesus.
Well, thank you so much. And there's one other thing I'm going to ask of you, Jim, right about now. Would you get us started the right way, the best of ways, by opening us in prayer?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we bow our heads and our hearts, Lord, and we prepare to worship you. Father, we offer a prayer of thanks to you for your comfort that you give to each of us regardless. Where do we begin to thank you, Lord? Our words are so inadequate. Our thoughts are so minuscule compared to an infinite God. Perhaps thanking you for creating us uniquely and not just tossing us out in the world randomly. We have a purpose. A God-given purpose. Not only that, but you enable us with certain gifts and abilities to accomplish that purpose. Oh Lord, tonight and later from the archive, reveal your purpose for our lives to all who hear this message. We have been taught, Lord, that when we are overwhelmed, to pause, look up, and know that you are God. We have confidence that when we focus on you and not our problems, we can rest assured you're still in control and still on the throne. give, I pray, Dr. Lyons the exact words you'd have him to deliver. May those words fall on seeking ears, hungry to hear the truth, that forgiveness and salvation comes through none other than the Christ, the Jesus Christ of our land. Father, we love you. We thank you. It's in the name that's above all names that we make this prayer, the name of our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for that, Jim. That's very special. Tell you what, speaking of special, what is the one thing that you're most thankful for from the past year?
Well, Pastor, I am so thankful that I have family. And there's none I would put to the forefront and say this one more than the other. But I got to see all my family this week. And it has been just phenomenal. But I am thankful that God has given us family and health and a wonderful future. How about you, Pastor? What are you most thankful for?
I would certainly have to agree with those items you've just mentioned. They are quite special. On a personal goal, I began the year. I had always set a goal, but you know, it seemed like it always seemed too big, and I backed away from it and went on to other things. But I had the goal to obtain my ham radio license. And so I got serious about it back on January 1 of last year. And so as I rolled into February, I took my test and amazingly enough, actually passed the test. So that's been a blessing in itself, finding those avenues. That, you know. So I say that because I actually began that goal as a young person. And so, obviously, there's been a couple of weeks that have gone by between that and January 1. So, just want to encourage people, if you had a goal out there and you've put it aside and thought, well, that was nice, but guess it just won't happen, revisit it. Don't let the enemy steal your dreams. And whatever it might be, it could be some facet of ministry, it could be something you've wanted to do at your church, it could be some personal goal that you want to achieve. You know, if there's no reason not to do it, jump on it. Why not start setting a schedule for it? And that's what I really started with. I just simply started saying, all right, what is the stumbling blocks and what can I do to get past those stumbling blocks? And did it take a lot of study? It sure did. But did it feel good passing the exam that night? It really did. So by all means, it's those things that we sometimes start to listen to the world that says, oh, you can't do that, or you've waited too long for it. Don't believe the enemy, because all so often what I think is true is that you can achieve your goals, and there are things that as we look over our shoulder, sometimes we've done and achieved things that we've actually simply forgotten about. We were so consumed with the issues, the problems that are going on, that we can forget them. Well, I think one of the things we ought to do is give thanks to God for those things that have occurred. Like I said at the open, as Jim touched on at the open, there's been some real challenges in our area, storm and damage and conflicts, and yet God has taken us through all of that. You know, 1 Chronicles 16:34 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." And that last little phrase, "for his mercy endureth forever," is a statement you hear a lot of times in Scripture. And it is true that the grace of God is good and his mercy endures. So I think that is one of the big things that we can be thankful for. He certainly showed grace and mercy on our nation. If you think of all the flooding that has taken place in so many parts of our country and the fires that have taken place, you could look at it and feel defeated, or you could realize that people stepped up, emergency personnel came out. But all too often, before anybody else could get out there, just neighbors were helping neighbors. People from local churches were stepping forward and helping. Have there been shootings and incidences? Yes. And even there, people came together and ministered to each other and tried to do the best they could to comfort one another. And I think that is what we're talking about when we talk about the grace of God, the mercy of God. It's him through us being able to touch and encourage other lives to grow stronger and closer to him in the process. And so that, to me, is a wonderful, seeing, you know, people that are making their marriages stronger, seeing people who are, you know, maybe they're going through life physically alone, and yet they feel the very presence of God, and they find the opportunities to minister through churches. And I think that's an exciting thing. Jim, when you think of that verse, what thoughts cross through your mind and opportunities that we might have been experiencing this past year?
Well, as usual, when you give emphasis and focus on one verse and give me the time to imagine some of the background, and that this is Chronicles of the Kings, I see something that I don't guess I've ever noticed before. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. You know what occurred to me when you said that, when you read it?
No.
I thought, are you telling me that we have to be reminded to give thanks unto the Lord? And I wondered immediately, was there a time that this admonishment did not have to take place? Was there a time? And I thought about, you know, we're Exodus, we're in the, we've left Egypt, now we're wandering the desert. And what did they do? They started grumbling. We want to go back. We want to go back to our onions and leeks. And, you know, they listed all those things. They were hungry for their food from Egypt. Oh, by the way, about 450 years of slavery had kind of left their thoughts. But I'm thinking, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. We have to be told that. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it is. It's stunning to me. It should be so obvious. But aren't we usually just thinking about the next thing to grumble about? It's like, you know, the presents around the tree, the wrapping paper is gone, and the kids have played with them, and it's time for them to get recharged or plugged into the computer, and suddenly they've almost forgotten they had them. You know, they're bored. What happens now, right? And
right,
guess what? It's not just the little kids that way. The adults tend to, I'm bored. What now? You know. My goodness, be thankful that you're at peace enough you can be bored. That's a blessing in itself. Listen, give thanks unto the Lord. And if you're ever at that stage where you're feeling like nobody cares for me, look over your shoulder. It's easy to look at all the bad stuff. But how about looking over your shoulder and giving thanks for all the countless blessings that are really out there? I think that's an appropriate term, countless blessings. Because we don't count them enough. There's that aspect to countless. But there's also the fact there's just so many of them, if you really think about it, day in and day out. Not to mention the ones you don't even know about. The times you've been spared a problem. You know, spared the moments. So something that you asked for and you wondered why God didn't give it to you. And maybe in eternity we'll look back and realize, well, if you had had it, this is the damage that would have come with it. This is the pain that would have been attached to that item. So I'm thankful that we have a Heavenly Father who loves us so much that He doesn't say just yes. You know, I'm not a name it, claim it kind of guy. I'm a guy who says, God, I trust You. This is what I'd like to have, but what's the best thing for me? Because I've learned over the years, He's got a lot better judgment than I do. And I'd much rather have the thing He picks out. So I think that's pretty powerful and special. You know, I can't help but think of that old song. You know, it's a hymn that says, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Well, you know, we've got a great little mini study on counting your blessings. And Jim, that's in Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5, Psalm of David. Would you be kind enough to read through those verses and share what's on your heart as you go through them?
Absolutely. A psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Wow. Pastor, over and over again, O my soul, bless the Lord. O my soul, forget not. Here, he is saying it in so many different ways, yet all in the same way. And he is telling us, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. One of the things that occurred to me is all thine iniquities. If we were perfect, that would be unnecessary. And God demands that we do not sin. He cannot look on sin. So he has made it possible. All thine iniquities are forgiven. I don't think I could sit down, Pastor, at one time and name my iniquities just for this day. How many thoughts that were off base, how many things said, done, whatever. And he says, he uses the word, all thine iniquities. And then he healeth all thy diseases. And that's an interesting one. I was hoping maybe you would expand on that, because he does heal. Sometimes it's in this life and sometimes it's not. So I would love to hear a little more on that. And who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Now here's an interesting part of the psalm that I think it bears attention, because what it's saying is, he redeemeth thy life from destruction. What he's given us as commandments, what he's given us as law, is not to be a great killjoy, but rather that word, destruction. He knows where sin leadeth, right? To destruction. Right. And crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. This is a God who loves us so much. He knows you're not going to follow the rules. He knows you're not going to follow the law. You are going to sin. You're going to do things. You're going to regret. But his loving kindness and tender mercies speaks of, it's a father figure in my mind, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like eagles. You're constantly being loved and provided for. We could spend a month on this, don't you think, Pastor?
Absolutely. A beautiful passage. And, you know, you think on the healing of thy diseases, I think we fall into our normal trap. And that is, we, you know, are checking our watches constantly. We're seeing how much longer we've got. And when we take something to God, it seems like that's the first thing we do. We take it to God, said, I want this, I want that. We check our watch. It's not here, God. Did you notice the time is going ticking away? You know, been at least a nanosecond, and I don't know what's going on. We forget that we are granted eternal life in Christ. And this old mortal flesh may go through some issues, some problems, some sickness, but we have been promised this one who will heal our diseases, that we will have a complete and 100% healing, that we may go through the valley of the shadow of death, but guess what? We will receive a glorified body. We will have a renewed spirit that is eternal, and that whatever disease that you deal with in the short term, and by short term I mean in this life, there is quite literally a new body that awaits us. And so, yes, I have aches and pains that I deal with. I have some things the doctor jumps right on and gets taken care of. I got other things and he just shakes his head. And I know that God will take care of these things in his timing, in his schedule. And that's fine. There's things for me to learn from it now. There's things that, you know, I don't do now because of certain physical restrictions. But by the same token, that keeps me in a place of service that is very different for me. And so that is a good thing. And it may be that you have the physical freedom to travel, to do more than someone else. And in doing so, God uses you in those capacities. So be thankful for those things. Mm-hmm. Whatever our particular physical issue is, understand that God will take us through it, and he can even use it and as a way of guiding us, putting us in contact. I remember some years ago I was going through some extreme difficulties and found myself, you know, going, it seemed like from waiting room to waiting room, you know, as I waited either to see a doctor or have tests run or have test results come back. I look back at that, and I'm very thankful to look back and realize that I can't say that I was enjoying it at the moment, But I got to talk to some people that I probably would not have seen otherwise. I got to witness to people that would have never come by the office, and even if I was just going through in the course of a day, I probably wouldn't have stumbled across these people. Even in a hospital visit, I'd be going to a specific room. I wouldn't be going necessarily just to be spending time there in the waiting area. I've learned over the last few years that when you're in a waiting area, take advantage of the time as a believer. There's people there that you can witness to talk with, that need your relationship that you have with Christ. And so don't look at healing thy diseases and get out the stopwatch. Get out the healing your diseases and start to think, all right, God, what are we going to do now? What is it you've got for me to do right here, right now? And while this is all taking place and all the healing that's happening, whether it happens in the short term or the long term, how are you going to use this moment? Because as you do, that first of all puts you in the mindset to be ready to be used. You know, there are things for us to do, people that we can contact and witness to all along the path. And yes, one day we'll have a totally glorified body and we won't have the aches and pains we deal with now. And that's something to look forward to. But right here, right now, you know, if he heals me of a cold or if he heals me of a deeper issue, that's okay. I'm thankful for that. If something has to wait for a bit, I've learned to be thankful for that as well, because in the waiting, there's opportunities that only God can provide, only God can manifest and use to his glory. And if we are, in fact, what we say we are, his children, and desiring to serve him, A, we have the opportunity, and B, we have, if he's our Father, which we say he is, he will take care of us. We have his promise, and that's good enough for me. You know, something else, as I look over this past year, I realized that we had to trust God's plan. We had to rely on the fact that his plans are for good. That's a challenge in itself. It's like when you're sick, or if you're having a financial challenge, or you're wanting a change to take place, maybe whether it's on the job or in your home, and you're saying, like, when is it going to happen? You've got to understand, part of trusting is patience. And if you're going through a path, you're wondering, why this path? I know a better road. There's got to be a better road. Well, he's the one that's putting the best path and plan in your life. And that's important to understand. You know, anybody that goes through the military training realizes there's some things that are just downright painful and difficult, but there's a purpose behind it. And as you go through it, it prepares you for something that you never dreamed you'd have to face. And when you do, in that moment, you may not think about it right away, but at some moment you're thankful that you prepared because you're able to deal with the moment. And I think a lot of times we have to trust God to realize what we're going through prepares us for an adventure that if you just told us about it or dropped us in there and said, oh no, no way could I do that. And then you realize, wait a minute, he never leaves me or forsakes me, and the stuff he's taken through me has gotten me ready for this moment. That's pretty exciting. You know, think of Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Now, the exciting thing is to realize it's not the thing that we think of. It's his expectation for how we're going to finish things up. Remember, he knows our very thoughts, and he knows the thoughts that he thinks towards us. That's exciting. And he says that those thoughts that he has towards us, they're thoughts of peace, not of evil. How many times have I heard people, when they're going through something very difficult or painful or anything from loss of property to a loss of a loved one, and our instinct is that, you know, why is God treating me this way? Well, we forget that God is not treating you that way. It's, you know, sin came into this world and sin brings forth death, and it's something we deal with. Or there are people who don't know God and the path is, you know, selfish sometimes. And so we go through things that are very difficult, both in the workplace and in homes and in life. But that's not what God intends for us. He intends that we would have life and have it more abundantly. And sometimes we experience it here, and sometimes we experience it later, and sometimes we will experience it eternally. That's what we have to avoid, the trap of falling into short-term thinking. God's plans are so much greater. You know, I thoroughly believe, I was amazed. It takes me back to first days, not first years, but first days at college, sitting in a big amphitheater with people. You know, a professor comes up and tells you, look to your left, look to your right, because of the three of you, only one of you is still going to be here in a couple of years. The rest of you will have given up.
Wow.
That's a scary thought. I remember sitting in that situation and said, I wonder which of the three of us are going to be here. You know, that's a scary thought, too, you know. And
that's where you and I are different. I'd have said, well, I'll see y'all later.
I mean, snack bar can
eat
me,
just gone ahead and got up. Yeah, let's narrow it down to just two. I can tell you I'm not going to be here.
Yeah. In fact, while we're on that note, I'll give passing tribute to Brother Bartlett. He was, at the time he was the Dean of Men, he was also a history professor and at Baptist Bible College. Tremendous individual, amazing individual. I mean, not only was he a great teacher, but I've never seen anybody who could devise a test like he could devise. They were always pretty easy, pass here out, you know, 8 to 12 pages, legal size, type front and back. You know, there was more than enough questions. If you felt bored, you could always move on to another question because there were plenty of them to go. And, you know, the amazing thing is he graded on a curve. And I confess, when I'd look around the room and see people that got disgusted and gave up and walked out of the room, I actually felt better for the experience, thinking, oh, the curve just moved in my direction. How nice. You know, now, that may seem a little cold, but if you're staring at that many questions, you start feeling good about it. He could devise a test, but he can also teach in a powerful and amazing way. And, you know, I use that to say, this verse reminds me that God's first goal, like a great teacher, is that he wants our best. He wants us to have peace, not evil. He wants us to achieve the expected end. That's an awesome thing to experience. And the prophet Jeremiah brought us this word from God. He says, I know your thoughts and I think towards you, saith the Lord. That's not Jeremiah talking. That's the words of God to us. So if you're ever tempted to fall into the trap of thinking, oh, you know, God's putting me through all this nightmare, realize that his desire for you, his thoughts of you, are for peace and not for evil, and to have a special objective at the end that is going to be exciting, dynamic. So don't fall in the trap of falsely accusing God that what he's doing is going to be bad for you. That's not the case. You know, the old classic philosopher Flip Wilson used to say, the devil made me do it. Well, guess what? Sometimes when those things come into your life, it's the devil. You didn't know he was an ancient philosopher, did you? The reality is, say you come to this program, you learn some stuff. But that's the reality. When it's bad in your life that's happening, don't blame God, because God's not the one that brought it into your life. And sometimes it lingers because we're still in this fleshly body and got some stuff to deal with. But I can assure you, in the long term, God is going to do some incredible things. And some things are worth waiting for. If you're a college student right now, it's worth waiting to get the degree. It's worth going through the heat to realize the joy of success. If you're struggling with a project you're trying to accomplish in your job or in your home or a goal that you've set, it's worth the wait, even if it takes you longer than you planned, like my taking a test for a ham license. Whatever your goal, a new home, a new house, a family, it's worth waiting for if you get the right thing that God has for you. You know, even when these bodies grow tired and we set them aside, and in a moment, the twinkling of an eye, we are with Christ, it's worth it. It's worth it. And while we have to bid you adieu as you go to get to be with the Lord, and we're sitting here grieving, you know, remember that we don't grieve as others who have no hope, because we have the hope of seeing you again. And it's not a hope in the sense of like, gee, I wonder. It's a hope in the sense of, I know this is going to happen. God is faithful, and I'm going to see you again, because I knew you are born again Christian. I'm a born again Christian. If God chooses to bring you home first, I'm going to go too. And I'm going to see you. It'll take a little while, because apparently he's got some stuff for us to do right here, right now. But that is the expected end, that we will fellowship, we will walk together, we will know God and serve him. Another great thing that's happened over this past year, amongst many people facing the challenges of every day and the difficulty and even the filth of this world, you have been able to walk with a clean heart as you got to know God better each and every day. A couple of great verses that deal with this are Psalm 51:10 and Ezekiel 36:26. Jim, I wonder if you would be kind enough to share those two verses with our listeners and expand a little bit on that concept of getting to know God and having a heart that's pure. Your thoughts?
Sure. Psalm 51:10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Ezekiel 36:26, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh." In the first one, the Psalm 51:10, "Create in me a clean heart," I love that. It's like, let me start over. And a right spirit within me, that recognizes, I think, it recognizes, you know what? I don't have a clean heart. I don't have a right spirit. But the one who created me can create in me a clean heart. He can renew a right spirit within me. So I just see this as a wonderful prayer, and I can see how David was a man after God's own heart. He spoke a lot about heart. And and I think you've explained to us before that David was not perfect. There were some things, even including murder, that this is a man that we can all relate to because, oh, guess what? I'm not perfect. And here he is asking, please, create in me a clean heart. Now, that's not something, Pastor, that I could ask you, as good of friends as we are. I can't say, Pastor, would you create in me a clean heart? You are inadequate in that area, right? And to renew a right spirit within me, there's nobody but God could even answer this prayer, this psalm. And then on into Ezekiel, "A new heart also will I give you." Wow. Does that apply to everybody? "And a new spirit will I put within you." Well, that sounds like it's answering David's prayer. "And I will take away the stony heart." Okay, he's already described what kind of heart I have. "Out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh." So I think he, in these verses, God has convicted us, but then he says, now just relax. I've made preparation for this, and here's what I'm going to do. I will create a new heart for you, and I'll give you a new spirit. And I think, Pastor, correct me please if this is not correct, that when we follow Jesus in baptism, and we believe in full immersion, just as Jesus did, under the water symbolizes dying to the old spirit, the old ways, that stony heart, and rising to a new creation, not a refurbished creation, right? Would you speak on that?
And not only that, I mean, it's a reminder that what Christ did for us, that when he took on death, you know, it was not, as some liars have said, that, oh, he just passed out and, you know, he was revived by the cool atmosphere in the tomb. Well, then how do you explain rolling the stone and all the other stuff? No. You know, it was an absolute 100% true death. He died for us. He took sin on for himself. It was real death, mm-hmm. and it was real life that he brought to us when he rose from the grave. His sacrifice was accepted for us. And so this new heart he's going to give us, there's going to be a complete and real change. You talk about the analogy of baptism. We're buried in the same way that he went into death, and we're raised up in the way that he rose from the dead. And this change that takes place from darkness of death and light of life, well, this new heart, you know, sometimes people have gotten saved that were pretty much just basically good people. But even mm-hmm. good people experience something very new in the process. But there's also been people that, you know, have just known the hardness, known it's not so much even conceit as much as you're just frustrated with the world. It seems like everything you try to achieve, somebody tries to steal from you. Anything you try to do is never quite good enough. It's painful, and it's really easy to begin to harden your heart. And what God is saying is that, look, I'll put a new spirit in you. If you've gotten bitter, if you've gotten frustrated, I can change that. And I can take out the stony side, and I can put in a heart of love and flesh and strength. And we're promised this glorified body later, a complete change. But even now, something we don't wait for is as we're born again, as we accept Him as Savior and Lord, especially as He becomes our Lord, this change begins to take place, this clean heart, this renewing of our spirit, because we begin to see things and value things differently, things that bored us before, suddenly we become passionate about, things that we didn't have time for helping that person or somebody else because we had our own thing to do. Suddenly, there's this heart of compassion that comes alive. It is an amazing thing when you think about the change that takes place in a born-again individual as they become a new creation in Christ. Maybe that seems so distant to you that you can't conceive of it ever happening in your life. And you're saying, well, Jim, Pastor Charles, you just don't know what my life is like. Well, here's what I do know, that God knows your heart. He knows where you're at. He knows where He's going through. And when He wrote all those things, He knew it. And guess what? Your life can change. There can be that newness of life. There can be that freedom. Think about it for a moment. You could close out this year and begin a whole new year as a whole new creation in Christ. And I'm going to ask Jim just to take a moment, as he does so often, just to walk through and share with you, this is what you would have to do if you've grown tired of this life that we're struggling with now, and you'd like to experience the new life in Jesus Christ. Jim, would you walk them through that simple process of how they can know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior?
I would be honored to. Pastor, I would like, before I go to Romans, because that's where we get clear instruction, but you had read earlier Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." I just think that is a great forerunner to what we're about to say. But then the next two verses, these are three of my favorite verses, and the 12th verse of chapter 29 of Jeremiah says, "Then shall ye call upon me." Now, he said, to give you an expected end. That's a hope, a future, something to look forward to. "Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you." Hearken, I believe, Pastor, means pay close attention to. I will, not maybe, maybe if you do some other, I will hearken unto you. And he goes on in the 13th verse to say, "And ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." So I would say tonight, if you're searching, something's missing. My way has not gone correctly. I'm getting a divorce. My children are on narcotics. My wife left me. My job, I lost my job. Your life has gone absolutely into the dumpster. And you're wondering, what can I do? I'm hopeless. I'm helpless. Here's what you do. You go to Romans chapter 10, verse 9, and he tells us that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It seems too easy. It goes on in verse 10, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So if you're hearing that voice tonight, you feel the Holy Spirit is moving you, and we pray that it is, and you say, "I want to step out in faith. I want to accept Jesus. I don't have all the answers, and I don't think Pastor Lyons does or any of us do. I don't have all the answers, but on faith, and that's how we receive it. It's on faith. We can't prove it. If we could prove it, we wouldn't need this program probably. You're stepping out in faith, but God honors that faith by giving you that peace that surpasses understanding. So, Pastor, if they do that tonight, if they step out, all right, I don't understand it all. I've been putting this off. All right, I believe that Jesus died for me, and yes, I believe God raised him from the dead. I'm kind of tentative here. I'm not certain. I'm stepping out in faith like you guys suggest. Then they are saved immediately. God doesn't make us grovel. He doesn't wait till you're really, really certain. No, he does it the second you step out. He rewards that. He gives you that feeling that you know you're going in the right direction. And then you would say, I believe God raised him from the dead. Without the resurrection, we have no more than any other religion. But because he raised Jesus Christ from the grave, we know there is eternal life, and he promised that we would join him one day in paradise. If you have done that tonight, please send us an email. We'd love to follow that up with, what are the next steps? How can I continue to walk closer and closer? And we used the word earlier, create in me a clean heart. I want to know what to do next. Ask at askthepastornow.com. We're here to help. Pastor, though, can I lose that salvation? Once I've made this move, what happens if I sin again? If I do the wrong thing down here, if I cheat, I lie, I steal, what happens? Is it all, I have to go do it again? What would you say to them?
I'd say to them, there's this wonderful little verse that was written to believers, not to the lost. That's 1 John 1:9. The scripture says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, you're still in that old fleshly body. You're still growing. You're maturing. You're finding out what it is to live the life of a Christian. Doesn't mean you're running around trying to sin all you can. You're trying to sin as little as you are able to, because you're wanting to live a life that honors God. But if you do mess up and you do sin because you're still in this old sin nature, first thing God wants to do is to restore you, to give you that chance to, well, if that's the case, what is the purpose in it? The purpose in it is that he wants the two of us to get to know better. In other words, you've accepted Christ, now he wants to have a chance to know you better, for you to know him better. Obviously, he knows you better than you know yourself. But he wants to build relationship. So, since he's the one that saved you, you can't lose your salvation. The scripture says that neither life nor death nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come can separate you from the love of God. So you can't lose your salvation. But sin puts walls up. So how can you build this wonderful relationship with him? You're saved, but how do you get to know him better if you're in a state of disobedience? So he's got this thing set up for you to heal and restore afterwards. You're still saved, but you're just taking the walls down. It's like two people who are married. They have a disagreement, and they can choose to let the wall come up between them, or they can choose to get the wall down and restore the warmth of the relationship. And so they're married, both during the fight and after the fight, but the restoration comes, and so there's a warmth and a kindness again. And that's what's happening when we sin as believers. God is taking steps to help us get the walls down and heal and mend and come closer to him again. We have to learn as we walk through life, when we are forgiven by Christ, to let go of the old sins, to let go of the old sin nature, and let God do the work in our lives that he has promised to do. Philippians 3:13-14 is a great example of this. The Apostle Paul was trying to explain it to the Philippians. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, I haven't arrived. I'm not perfect by any means. He says, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, In other words, the stuff I've done in the past, good, bad, or indifferent, I tend to let go of those things. And I reach forward to something else. Something else is mentioned in verse 14. I press towards the mark of the high prize of the high calling, or of the prize for the high calling in God Christ Jesus. In other words, the things that I've already achieved, they're nice, but I'm moving forward to something better. The places where I messed up, I push those behind me, and I focus now on this future. See, I don't think I've apprehended now. This is good, but I'm not there. I'm going to move forward for some more. In Philippians 4, 6, and 7, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So how do we stay saved? Well, he's the one that's doing that, so we don't have to worry about that. But how do we build a relationship? By taking care of those little things that come up, getting them taken care of right away, ask for his forgiveness, and move forward. And don't bog down in the past, like Paul's reminding people. Forget those things from the past. Move forward. Look to the promises of God that are out there for you to draw closer to him, to be more thankful to him, to realize that the blessings of God are always out there in front of us. And our enemy, our adversary, the devil and his demons would try to convince you, well, they're not really for you. They're for those other Christians. No, that's nonsense. God, I love the way God describes in John 3:16, who so loved you. Remember that. God so loved us. He wants to restore. He wants us to be close to him. He wants to bless. So give him the opportunity by making your heart an open book before God. Close out this year with the thought and with the plan that there are some things that we can be extremely thankful for. And if there are things we feel like we messed up, we can let go of them and press on to the mark of the high calling of Christ. That's what is important and exciting. You know, we try to put some things out here to help you and be a blessing to you. One of those is we've got a channel over on YouTube you can go to. In fact, you can click on it right there below the screen on the YouTube channel. And it'll take you out to my channel there. And there's Bible studies there. I answer questions there. Sometimes I pull topics and just share the scriptures that deal with that topic and then pray with you. That's out there. There's no charge for that. I would ask that you'd subscribe to the channel, that you'd go back and check on it, because I try to update it a couple of times each week. Likewise, encourage you to follow us on Twitter or check out the website that we have at askthepastornow.com. But most importantly, I ask you to pray for us and to invite others to listen to the program, perhaps with you, perhaps just send them a link, however it works best. But I want you to know Christ better as we close out this year, as we move into the coming year. Jim, thank you so much for all that you do and your kindness and sharing the gospel with people and being a faithful witness. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Pastor, and God bless you. Thank you for teaching us, and I cannot wait till you teach us in 2018. That's the next time we get together, right?
Well, I think you could just about be right on that one. We'll have to do something special. We've tried to close this year out on the right note by trusting God. So I think we'll start up the new year the right way by trusting God. So on behalf of all of us here at Ask the Pastor Now, have a blessed past year as we look forward to the new year. God bless.
Thank you for joining us on Ask the Pastor. If you have a question or a comment for the program, just email us at question@askthepastornow.com. We will try to respond to you either by email or answer your question on air during a future broadcast. Again, that email address is question@askthepastornow.com. Now, on behalf of Jim Simmons, Charles Lyons, and the whole Ask the Pastor team, we invite you to explore our website for great resources. You can also hear previous broadcasts as archives at askthepastornow.com. So, until next time, read, study, pray. pray and prepare for your life of faith and freedom.